chapter 36. Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. Chapter 36. We're going to read this chapter and ask you to follow along with me. Jeremiah chapter 36. The Bible says there, and it came to pass in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that this word came unto Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, take thee a roll of a book, and write therein all the words that I have spoken unto thee against Israel, and against Judah, against all the nations, from the day I spake unto thee, from the days of Josiah, even unto this day. It may be that the house of Judah will hear all the evil which I purpose to do unto them, that they may return every man from his evil way, that I may forgive their iniquity and their sin. Then Jeremiah called Baruch, the son of Neriah, and Baruch wrote from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the Lord, which he had spoken unto him, upon a roll of a book. And Jeremiah commanded Baruch, saying, I am shut up, I cannot go into the house of the Lord. Therefore go thou and read in the roll, which thou hast written from my mouth, the words of the Lord's house upon the word of the Lord the words of the Lord in the ears of the people in the Lord's house upon the fasting day, and also thou shalt read them in the ears of all Judah that come out of their cities. It may be they will present their supplication before the Lord, and will return everyone from his evil way. For great is the anger and the fury that the Lord hath pronounced against this people. And Baruch, the son of Neriah, did according to all that Jeremiah the prophet commanded him, reading in the book the words of the Lord in the Lord's house. And it came to pass in the fifth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, in the ninth month, that they proclaimed a fast before the Lord to all the people in Jerusalem, and all the people that came from the cities of Judah unto Jerusalem. Then read Baruch in the book the words of Jeremiah in the house of the Lord in the chamber of Gemariah, the son of Shaphan the scribe, in the higher court, at the entry of the new gate of the Lord's house, in the ears of all the people. When Micaiah, the son of Gemariah, the son of Shaphan, had heard out of the book all the words of the Lord, then he went down into the king's house, into the scribe's chamber, and lo, all the princes sat there, even Elishama, the scribe, and Deliah, the son of Shemaiah, and Elnathan, the son of Achbor, and Gemariah, the son of Shaphan, and Zedekiah, the son of Hananiah, and all the princes. Then Micaiah declared unto them all the words that he had heard when Baruch read the book in the ears of the people. Therefore all the princes sent Jehudi, the son of Nethaniah, the son of Shelemiah, the son of Cushi, unto Baruch, saying, take in thine hand the roll wherein thou hast read in the ears of the people, and come. So Baruch, the son of Neriah, took the roll of his hand and came unto them. And they said unto him, sit down now and read it in our ears. So Baruch read it in their ears. Now it came to pass, when they had heard all the words, they were afraid, both one and other, and said unto Baruch, we will surely tell the king of all these words. And they asked Baruch, saying, tell us now, How didst thou write all these words at his mouth? Then Baruch answered them, he pronounced all these words unto me with his mouth, and I wrote them with ink in the book. Then said the princess unto Baruch, go hide thee, thou and Jeremiah, and let no man know where ye be. They went into the king, into the court, but they laid up the roll in the chamber of Elishama, the scribe, and told all the words in the ears of the king. So the king sent Jehudi to fetch the roll. And he took it out of Elishama, the scribe's chamber. And Jehudi read it in the ears of the king and in the ears of all the princes, which stood beside the king. Now the king sat in the winter house in the ninth month, and there was a fire on the hearth burning before him. And it came to pass when Jehudi had read three or four leaves, he cut it with a penknife and cast it into the fire that was on the hearth until all the roll was consumed in the fire that was on the hearth. Yet they were not afraid nor rent their garments, neither the king nor any of his servants had heard all these words. Nevertheless, Elnathan and Deleiah and Gemariah had made intercession to the king that he would not burn the roll, but he would not hear them. But the king commanded Jeremiel, the son of Hamelech, Seraiah, the son of Azrael, and Shelemiah, the son of Abdeel, to take Baruch the scribe, and Jeremiah the prophet. But the Lord hid them. Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah after that the king had burned the roll, the words which Baruch wrote at the mouth of Jeremiah, saying, take thee again another roll, and write in it all the former words that were in the first roll, which Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, hath burned. And thou shalt say to Jehoiakim, king of Judah, thus saith the Lord, thou hast burned this roll, saying, why hast thou written therein, saying, the king of Babylon shall certainly come and destroy this land and shall cause to cease from thence man and beast. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, he shall have none to sit upon the throne of David, and his dead body shall be cast out in the day to the heat and in the night to the frost. And I will punish him and his seed and his servants for their iniquity, and I will bring upon them and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem and upon the men of Judah all the evil that I have pronounced against them. But they hearken not. Then took Jeremiah another roll and gave it to Baruch the scribe, the son of Neriah, who wrote therein from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the book which Jehoiakim, king of Judah, had burned in the fire. And there were added besides unto them many like words. Let's pray. Lord, once again, we read about these affairs, these occurrences in the lives of these people of Judah, the lives of Jeremiah. Lord, how sad it is when we read about it, that these people were so hard-hearted and blind. And yet, Lord, we see much of the same today. We thank you that though man has tried repeatedly to destroy your word and to wipe it off the face of this globe, they've never succeeded and they won't. Your word will endure. You've promised us. And Lord, today there's a battle over your word. Men aren't necessarily burning it. They're perverting it. And Lord, we're concerned, we're troubled. We know that the Word of God is our sword. It is our power. And it's the power of God unto salvation. We know the enemy hates it. And yet, Lord, we stand with it and for it. And there are consequences. Thank you that Jeremiah was willing to suffer whatever came along. He would not back down. He would not back up. Help us to have that same kind of backbone, determination, and faith. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I've titled this, The Indestructible Word of God. Now, in this chapter, Jeremiah describes for us, if you will, a very crucial turning point in the history of Judah. The Lord came to Jeremiah here, and he told him to write a summary of all the prophecies he had preached to these people. Don't just say it, write it down. And God wants these people to have another final opportunity to repent. Jeremiah has Baruch to be his scribe, and he dictates to Baruch what he's to write down, and Baruch is then told to take that scroll, take it down to the temple, and read it. When he did, some of the princes there took it to heart. They became afraid of what the prophecy was and the coming judgment. So they took the scroll to the king. But when the king heard, he had Jehudi tear it up, throw it in the fire. In arrogance, he burned the word of God. And so God, we will find later, punished Jehoiakim. And he told Jeremiah to write another scroll, which proved that Jehoiakim's rejection could not stop the very truth of the word of God. Now we're going to look at this chapter. We're going to note several things. The first is a reminder. And in verses 1 through 3, we see God's offer there. In verse 1, he tells Josiah to sit down and write. In verse 2, he tells him to take a roll of a book, and that signifies a scroll. And, books didn't come along till later. And most of your writings were scrolls. And I'm told in the synagogues today, each one has a scroll with the Pentateuch on it. And they revere that, the writings of Moses. But he told him to take this roll and write down the words of Jeremiah. And he says, these are all the prophecies that I've given. And then in verse 3, here's God's offer. It may be that the house of Judah will hear all the evil which I purpose to do unto them, that they may return every man from his evil way, that I may forgive their iniquity and their sin. And here I see the heart of God once again. He's pronounced judgment, and yet he comes one more time, one more chance. One more opportunity. Why would God do that? Because God is not willing that any should perish. God's heart is a heart of love. Now, he's the God of righteousness and justice and wrath. But he gives them another opportunity, as much as they did not deserve it. So here's the summary. And remember now, this is after Israel's already been taken into captivity. 10 tribes were already gone. We talked about that last time. And Judah knew what happened to them. And of course, probably, I don't know the minds and hearts of those people of Judah, but I would imagine they looked at Israel being carried off and said they deserved that. They're a bunch of half-breeds. Sometimes Christians look at the world that way. The world's going to die and go to hell. And sometimes Christians think, well, they deserve that. No more than we do. But by the grace of God, that's us. Don't ever forget that. It's only by God's grace we are what we are. You know, I don't like to dwell on this, but every once in a while, you need to remember where you came from. Now, when Jeremiah's doing all this, the Babylonians are already on their way. Things are in motion. But even there, God's given them another opportunity. They had already defeated Egypt at Carchemish. And they were coming along the Mediterranean coast, and they were taking all the outer fortresses and cities and things before they came over to the big town, Jerusalem. But he gives them one more chance. And then we see this, God's word prevails. In verses 4 through 10, Jeremiah gives this narration, if you will, to Baruch to write down. And then in verse 5, he says, I want you to go. And then he gives a reason. He says, I am shut up. I cannot go into the house of the Lord. Now, I don't know if he was under house arrest of some sort or if he was just shut out of the temple because he was not a popular guy. But he couldn't go. So he sends Baruch, and he says, go in there and with the written words that came from my mouth, the words of the Lord, and I want you to read it in the ears of the people in the Lord's house. And then he says this, upon the fasting day. You see, there were times when they would declare days of fasting for special things. And maybe a national emergency, maybe a drought, maybe a famine, maybe a pestilence, maybe a military attack. But they would declare days of fasting. I don't know if you're aware of this. Do you realize that there were presidents in America who declared days of fasting and prayer for our country? You don't see that today, do you? Boy, we've come a long way. But these people would do that, and what would happen was they would put out the call, hey, everybody get to Jerusalem. We need to have a day of fasting and prayer. So everybody that could make it to Jerusalem would come to Jerusalem for this day of fasting and prayer. You know, it kind of reminded me of the day of Pentecost. Listen, God had a message here for all the people on this day, and God arranges for it to be read in the temple when all the people would be in the temple. God has a way of doing them things. So he tells Baruch, you go down there to the temple and read this. And on the fast day, when there's a big crowd, when a lot of people are gathered, he goes down there and he reads it. And this is from the prophet to the scribe. And then in verse 7, it says, it may be they will present their supplication before the Lord. We'll return everyone from his evil way, for great is the anger and the fury that the Lord hath pronounced against his people. Now, this is Jeremiah speaking. And look what he says. It may be they will present their supplication before the Lord. So not only is God still loving these people, Jeremiah, who's hated by these people, still has a burden for these people. He said, go down there and read that in the house of the Lord. It might be that these people's heart will turn and they'll repent and God won't have to judge our city. Well, then in verse 8, Baruch, the son of Uriah, did according to all that Jeremiah the prophet commanded him, reading in the book the words of the Lord in the Lord's house. And it came to pass in the fifth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, in the ninth month, they proclaimed a fast. And this tells us when he did this. It's now the fifth year. And it came to pass in the fifth year, and then verse 10, then read Baruch in the book the words of Jeremiah in the house of the Lord in the chamber of Gemariah, the son of Shaphan the scribe, in the higher court at the entry of the new gate of the Lord's house in the ears of all the people. And it's interesting. The word now goes from the scribe, Baruch, to the people. So it went from the prophet to the scribe, from the scribe now to the people in verses 8, 9, and 10. This fast day that he talks about came several months later. And here's Baruch now. I feel sorry for Baruch sometimes. You know, Jeremiah is the one who's been given all the prophecies and been the target. But he can't do this, so Baruch gets the assignment. You go be the bad guy. And he's obedient. And he goes down there and does what he's told to do. Now, you know, the priestly leadership had tried to restrict Jeremiah and his movements. But listen, you can't bind the Word of God. You know, I thought about that old quote, Richard Lovelace said it, stone walls do not a prison make, nor iron bars a cage. You can't cage up the Word of God. And so they thought, well, we got Jeremiah shut up, we got him shut out of the temple, and possibly under house arrest, and we've restricted him. But let me tell you something, the Word of God is still going to get where God wants it to go. Well, God's truth advanced, even in the face of human opposition, and we're facing that today. What's really alarming is we're facing opposition from so-called brethren over the Word of God. I talked about that Sunday night. Many so-called Bible-believing churches are abandoning the King James Bible. They're going to the New English Bible, the NIV, you know, whatever is popular today. We need to stay with the book. So he does what he's told to do. And the Babylonian army is on its way. It's destroying everything in its path. And because Jeremiah obeyed in dictating God's prophecies and Baruch obeyed in proclaiming the message, God's truth reached to the people. And that's where it needed to get. The leaders had tried to stifle it and not allow it to be heard. As the people heard his words, they responded in a lot of different ways. And then that brings us to big point number two, the reaction. This is verses 11 through 19 here. Now, we're seeing the reaction here, first of all, the scribes. Shaphan the scribe in the higher court, and then it goes on with Micaiah, the son of Gemariah, lists all those in the scribe's chamber. And Micaiah, the son of Shaphan, heard out of the book the words of the Lord. He went down into the king's house, into the scribe's chamber. And so he takes it down to the princes that sat there, and it lists the princes for it. So Micaiah hears it, and he's got a burning heart. He says, hey, there's something to this. He takes it to the scribes. In verse 13, it says, he declared unto them all the words that he had heard when Baruch read the book in the ears of the people. So the princes hear, and in verse 14, it tells us how they sent Jehudi, the son of Shelemiah, the son of Cushi, unto Baruch, saying, take in thine hand the roll wherein thou hast read in the ears of the people, and come. So the word comes to the leaders. They said, go down there and get that scroll. And it says, so Baruch, the son of Neriah, took the roll in his hand and came unto them. And they said unto him, sit down now and read it in our ears. So Baruch read it in their ears. So here's the second time it's read. Baruch reads it to the people. Micaiah hears it. He goes down to the princes and he says, hey, this guy's, we better listen to what he's saying. And they say, go get that scroll and read it to us. We want to hear with our own ears. And then we find the reaction, verse 16, the leader's reaction. Now it came to pass when they had heard all the words, they were afraid, both one another, and said unto Baruch, we will surely tell the king of all these words. So exactly what needs to happen is happening. Some people, they're getting it. We're in trouble. We better listen to this guy. Well, it says, they were afraid. We will surely tell the king of all these words. And they asked Baruch, saying, tell us now, how didst thou write all these words at his mouth? And so they're concerned. Before they send the message to the king, they want to know, how did you get all this? And so Baruch tells them, Jeremiah the prophet. He gave it to me. As God gave it to him, he recited it to me. I wrote it down, just like he told me. And Baruch is testifying that what I'm reading is not my message. And what I'm giving you is not Jeremiah's message. God gave it to him. He gave it to me. Now I'm giving it to you. Listen, this book we have in front of us, we call the Holy Bible. It's not my message. It's not any man's message. God gave it to holy men of old, who spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. God gave it to them. They put it down on paper so that we would have it. The problem is we don't heed it, just like we're going to read here. The king now is going to have the word of God testifying of what's about to happen and why, and he won't listen. Well, I'm getting ahead of myself. The only way Judah can be spared is national repentance. In verse 16, we notice the fear of these men. They had heard all the words. They were afraid, both one and the other. And you know, that's another burden I have today, that the word of God does not cause people to fear. I preached on hell a couple of weeks ago. When you talk to people about hell, it does not cause them to fear. They poo-poo it. You know, that's a fairy tale. I don't believe in hell. I'm going there with my buddies. When you tell them God said in his word, your religion can't save you. Your confirmation isn't going to get you to heaven. Your baptism is not going to get you into heaven. You're being good. You're worshiping Allah. You're knocking on doors for Joseph Smith. Whatever it is, it's not going to get you to heaven. You need Jesus. I don't want to hear it. Doesn't affect them. You know, you're going to die and you're going to go somewhere. You know, I was, I don't want to say taken back, but as I witnessed to that fellow Bruce last week, and we got to talking about dying, and I asked him about it, he said, I'm afraid. That's a good place to be when you're dying. Because it shows that you're concerned about what's going to happen. So many people are not afraid. They don't believe in God. They don't believe in the Word. The Bible is just a book of fairy tales. But these men feared. And then verse 19, there's an order. The princess said unto Baruch, go hide thee, thou and Jeremiah, and let no man know where ye be. He said, you go down there, you get Jeremiah and hide yourselves. Don't tell anybody where you are. They kind of knew what was going to happen. See, it shows these officials and how concerned they were about this message and God's warning. You know, when you think about it, they could have said, all right, Baruch, we're going to go see the king. They could have told him, go get Jeremiah. We're going to go see the king. But they knew what would happen. And so they said, go hide yourselves. And they, in essence, shielded Jeremiah and Baruch. And then there's the rejection. Verse 20. And they went into the king, into the court. But they laid up the roll in the chamber of Elishama the scribe and told all the words in the ears of the king. They didn't take the scroll to the king. They told him what it said. And they hid the scroll. So the king sent Jehudi to fetch the roll. And he took it out of Elishama the scribe's chamber. And Jehudi read it in the ears of the king and the ears of all the princes which stood beside the king. Well, so here's the word taken to court. Now they're in the king's court. Elishama, the scribe, told the king what it said. He said, no, I don't want to hear it. Go get that scroll. I want you to read it to me, word for word. So he did that. And Jehudi's reading it. And then we find the rejection. Now the king sat in the winter house in the ninth month. You know, kings had all different houses. They had a summer house, a spring house, a winter house, you know, whatever. He's in the winter house, and there's a fire in the fireplace. In the ninth month, there was a fire in the hearth burning before him. And it came to pass, when Jehudi had read three or four leaves, he cut it with a penknife and cast it into the fire that was on the hearth until all the roll was consumed in the fire that was on the hearth. I remember years ago, Pastor Redenda preached a message, Jehudi's penknife. He'd read something, the king said, I don't like that. Cut it out and burn it. Now, we don't do that, do we? I want you to be real honest. How many of you have ever been reading the Bible and you didn't like something you were reading? You knew it was God's word, but it was hard to swallow. We all come across that. But I don't like that. So what do you do? Well, if you're King Jehoiakim, you tell Jehudi, cut that part out. I don't like it. Now, we wouldn't do that physically, but listen, a lot of believers do that mentally. Oh, I wouldn't dare cut that out of the Bible, but I'm not paying any attention to it. I'm going to explain it away. I'm going to ignore it. When I was in Bible college, my first semester there, we were having chapel when a word started buzzing around that a certain guy was coming for chapel. I really didn't know the guy. You would know him, Carl Hatch. He was a high power evangelist. And they said, oh, Brother Hatch is coming. I said, who's that? You don't know Carl Hatch. No, I'm ignorant. Oh, man. Blah, blah, blah. I remember this. They said, you better have tracks in your pocket. What are you talking about? Oh, he'll get right down in here. You ain't got tracks in your pocket. You're not right with God. Blah, 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 blah. They said, last time he was here, he was preaching a message out of here about Jehudi and his penknife. It's a just cutting up the Word of God. He said, that's how a lot of you Christians are. You don't like this? And he would tear pages out. You know, after the chapel, some people went to the leadership in the college. They were very upset. That guy tore a Bible up. When in reality, he wasn't tearing the Bible up. He had another book. But he was making a point. And the same is true today. You may not take a penknife and cut the page out, but you might as well cut it out. You won't listen to it. You want to skip over it. You want to pretend it's not there. Yeah, it's quiet in here now. I just don't like that part. I said Sunday night about cafeteria Christians. I'll have some of that, but I don't like this part. So, there's a rejection. And then we see the official's courage. Verse 25. Nevertheless, verse 24. Yet they were not afraid, nor rent their garments, neither the king nor any of his servants that heard all these words. All this is flowing off of his back like water off a duck's back. Doesn't bother him at all. Nevertheless, Elnathan and Deleiah and Gemariah had made intercession to the king that he would not burn the roll. But he wouldn't hear them. So these guys are taking seriously what Jeremiah's. The king won't hear any of it. But the king commanded Jeremiel, the son of Hamelech, and Seraiah, the son of Azrael, and Shelemiah, the son of Abdeel, to take Baruch the scribe and Jeremiah the prophet. But the Lord hid them. Same old song. It's the reprisal. There's a judgment on the king coming up. And a judgment on the king's family. You know, it's interesting when people don't like the message, they like to attack the messenger. Hello? Remember when Pastor O'Donnell was here, I think, last year, and he said, hey, the mailman brings you bills every month. Do you get mad at the mailman? Do you cuss him out? He's just a messenger boy. That's what the preacher is. People get upset. Well, you know, he said something. Yeah, right. Just telling you what God said. Don't get mad at me. I didn't write it. Well, there's a judgment on the king. Verse 27. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah after the king had burned the roll, and the words which Baruch wrote at the mouth of Jeremiah, saying, take thee again another roll, and write in it all the former words that were in the first roll, which Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, hath burned. You see, there's what I'm saying about the indestructible word of God. God said, Jeremiah, write it all again. He wrote the same thing, plus some. Not a word of God was lost. Man can try his dead level best, and they have. But not a word of God is going to be lost. He says, take thee again another roll. And thou shalt say to Jehoiakim, king of Judah, oh, here's something for the king. Thus saith the Lord, thou hast burned this roll, saying, why hast thou written therein, saying, the king of Babylon shall certainly come and destroy this land, shall cause to cease from thence man and beast. The king says, why'd you write such a negative statement? Because God said so. It is appointed of all men once to die, but after this the judgment. Why would you have such a negative statement? God said so. For the wages of sin is death. That's hell. Why would you say such a terrible thing? Because God said so. He that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. Why would you say something so negative? Because God said so. Well, King, verse 30. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of Jehoiakim, the king of Judah. You see, God's still God. And Jehoiakim is just the king. Now, Jehoiakim has in his mind, he's God. So God says, he shall have none to sit upon the throne of David, and his dead body shall be cast out in the day to the heat and in the night to the frost. That was an insult to a Jew not to have a proper burial. And God is saying to him, you're not going to have a proper burial. Remember Ahab and Jezebel? Remember how the dogs ate them and licked their blood? See, that's an insult to a Jew. Well, then he says, I will punish him. And this next part is kind of scary. And his seed and his servants for their iniquity. Not only is Jehoiakim going to pay the price, but his seed and his servants who heard this message. He tells them what's going to happen. I will bring upon them and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, upon the men of Judah, all the evil that I have pronounced against them, but they hearken not. I've said it over and over again. You don't trifle with God. No. Then took Jeremiah another roll, gave it to Baruch the scribe, the son of Neriah, who wrote therein from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the book which Jehoiakim, king of Judah, had burned in the fire. Now let me ask you this. You think Jeremiah did that from rote memory? You think Jeremiah could remember every word he had written in that scroll? I don't think so. But he didn't have to. Forever thy word is settled in heaven, O Lord. See, this second scroll came from the same place the first one did. And it wasn't Jeremiah's brain. It was dictated. God gave it to him. He gave it to Baruch. So the second scroll is just as accurate as the first scroll. Does that mean they didn't have the original? Think about that for a little while. Original got burned. Is this a copy? Oh no. Second original? I guess you'll have to figure that one out. But you see, here's what happened. That's the last straw. See, people don't realize that God has, sometimes they call it deadlines. I kind of think of it as God has lines drawn in the sand, that he'll let you go so far, and grace will take you that far. But when you step over that line, now you've stepped into judgment. The long suffering will carry you right to that line. Hey, how many parents we got in here? I'm telling you, don't do that again. I told you before, I really don't want to have to punish you. You ever play that game? We have. You play that game and then One day you say, you stepped over the line. That's it. Now judgment comes. Well, they stepped over the line. God gave them chance after chance after chance after chance. No. And you know, I don't know where your theology is on this. I know where mine is. I believe people can do that with salvation. I read Romans 1. Where God says he gave them over to a reprobate mind. What does that mean? If I understand it right, God tried to deal with them, tried to deal with them, tried to deal with them. They wouldn't hear it. They continued wanting to do what they wanted to do. And God said, all right, you crossed the line. I'm going to let you have your way. And I'm not going to deal with you anymore. In the old days, they used to refer to somebody being gospel hardened. You heard of that. What's that? That's when somebody hears the gospel, and keeps hardening their heart to where it doesn't affect them anymore. It's like they got a big callus that it don't even penetrate anymore. Now, listen, I believe in the whosoever will. I believe that until a man draws his last breath, there's an opportunity for salvation. But I think people can cross a line where the Holy Spirit just quits dealing with them. My spirit shall not always strive with man. And I think it can be the same way in Christians' lives with their sin. God's long-suffering and long-suffering and long-suffering. There comes a day when he says, that's it. And chastening comes. And if you've ever been under the chastening of the Lord, you know that's not a good place to be. Well, Jeremiah, Yehudi's penknife, you know, I never forgot that when Pastor Vedena preached on that. That a king would have the audacity to order a man to cut up the word of God and burn it in the fire. But then you read about what happened to the king. God's still in control. Father, thank you for Jeremiah, thank you for Baruch, and thank you for these princes that, Lord, they were concerned, they were burdened, they were troubled. But Lord, the hard-hearted king wouldn't hear any of it. You gave them another opportunity. We think of Nineveh, how you gave them another opportunity. You said in 40 days you were going to destroy them. But when they repented, you turned from that. We believe the same would have been true of Judah if they would have repented. Yet they hardened their heart. And Lord, help us as believers not to harden our heart. And not to mentally cut out things from your word. Things we don't like, things that don't sit well with us. Help us to accept it all and to yield ourselves to it, lest we have to be chastened. Lord, this next week, help us to think about what's taking place here in this book of Jeremiah. And how, even though they're so rebellious and hard-hearted, you keep reaching out to your people. It displays your love and your grace and your mercy and your long-suffering. And Lord, might it just encourage us, strengthen us, and convict us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.